This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Muhammad Ali is the subject of a new movie opening on Christmas Day. It focuses on a 10-year span in the former heavyweight champion's life. This is the latest in a line of documentaries, best-selling books, and songs that pay tribute to Ali. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams had a rare interview with the champ. In the first of two installments, they talk about the time when Ali was the most controversial athlete in America.
Come get me, suck. I'm dancing. I'm dancing. Follow me, son.
Muhammad Ali has been called the greatest athlete of the last 100 years. At 18, he won an Olympic gold medal for boxing. Then at 22, he beat Sonny Liston to win the first of three heavyweight championships. To many, he is still simply the greatest. Now Muhammad Ali is well past his youth. The older Ali craves sugar, candy, cookies, ice cream. It's amazing that he will be 60 in January. Standing in his hotel room in L.A., he's putting on a tuxedo. At 6'2", he's still an imposing man, even though his arms tremble with Parkinson's and his speech is slurred.
Do you still exercise? You still work out? Well, how much do you weigh now?
299.
Almost 300 pounds.
Not joking. 260.
But you feel good.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I feel like I can go 10 rounds.
Today, Muhammad Ali is the grand old man of American sports. With all the laurels being heaped on Ali, it's easy to forget his brash, polarizing youth.
He was himself a racist. When he was a black Muslim, when he was a very active black Muslim, he was a racist.
Joyce Carol Oates is the author of the book On Boxing.
He thought white people were the devil. He believed that. He said that a black man who went with a white woman deserved to be lynched. It's not the view of Muhammad Ali that people want to remember today.
Ali acknowledges that he held views that today would be considered deeply offensive.
Yeah, he didn't think that all blacks should be blacks, whites should be whites, yellow should be yellow, red should be red.
But today, Ali has a different view.
All people, God's people, all of us should come together, quit fighting each other and love each other.
Ali started his boxing career as Cassius Clay in segregated Louisville, Kentucky. And from the beginning, boxing insiders tabbed him as a rising star. Mark Cram has written extensively about boxing and Muhammad Ali.
He had a tremendous ring intelligence, three different types of left jabs. He had a head that seemed to be attached to a swivel and a pair of Rolls-Royce engines for legs.
Even with his physical gifts, he was a heavy underdog when he fought the menacing Sonny Liston for the championship in 1964.
Clay comes out to meet Liston, and Liston starts to retreat. If Liston goes back an inch farther, he'll end up in a ringside seat.
At the weigh-in for the fight, Ali delighted in rhythmic taunting of his thuggish opponent.
Yes, the crowd did not dream when they laid down their money that they would see a total eclipse of the sunny.
Here's the start of the seventh round as called by announcer Howard Cosell. Columnist Jack Newfield was there.
The three people sitting right behind Cassius Clay's corner in Miami when he beat Liston were black royalty in America to me. It was Malcolm X sitting next to Sam Cooke, sitting next to Sugar Ray Robinson. Most white people, I think, and probably some black people, thought of him as a loudmouth. And I once asked Ali, where did you get your act from, your persona? And he says, I got it from Little Richard and Gorgeous George. I said, well, what'd you learn from Gorgeous George? He says, Gorgeous George told me you can sell more tickets being hated than being loved.
Ali alienated and upset fans, especially older whites and the World War II generation. He went on a Louisville radio talk show after winning the championship.
First of all, sir, I'd like to congratulate you on your championship victory over Sonny Liston.
Thank you very much.
But, sir, I'm a little disappointed in you.
What's that?
I just don't like the way you've run this championship fight, the way in and the popping off.
What you should do is come get me.
Come get you?
Yeah.
Well, I can't come get you very well.
Well, you don't like what I do and what I say, then quit talking and do something.
We don't have to.
His loud mouth and bravado was just a part of why so many people disliked Ali. Again, Joyce Carol Oates.
As soon as he became the heavyweight champion of the world, He declared himself a black Muslim, and he wasn't going to be defining himself in terms of white America. Publications, including even the New York Times, would not call him Muhammad Ali. They insisted upon calling him Cassius Clay.
Ali says people resented his religion.
The Muslim religion, they don't understand why I joined.
At 20, Ali barely had a high school education and little sense of black identity. Then, according to Mark Cram, an extraordinary mentor began showing up at the Miami gym where Ali was training, Malcolm X.
Malcolm wanted him to be an international figure, a new kind of African-American. I mean, was this an independent spirit, a man of his own, doing what his conscience told him? No. He was manipulated, told what to do, from beginning to end by the Nation of Islam. He hit his stage marks as they were given to him, right down the line.
Even though his separatist ideas were crazed, many black people intensely identified with his defiance of the second-class status being given to black Americans. Jesse Owens, Joe Lewis, and Jackie Robinson were athletic heroes, but they were silent on race. Ali was speaking out.
I'm going to fight not for me, but to uplift my little brothers who are sleeping in concrete floors today in America. I want to win my title and walk down the alleys, sit on the garbage can with the wine heads. I want to walk down the street with the dope addicts, talk to the prostitutes, so I can help a lot of people.
In 1967, Ali refused to be inducted into the military, claiming to be a conscientious objector. He said the war amounted to white men sending black men to kill yellow men. Boxing officials took his title and banned him from the boxing ring. Jack Newfield.
The day he refused to accept induction into the Army in Houston, the New York State Boxing Commission revoked his license without any due process, without a hearing, without having him testify, and then every other boxing commission in the country within a week revoked his license to box, and he spent 3.5 years unable to earn a livelihood. And almost nobody backed Ali in what was probably the most dramatic act by a sports hero in American history. But Martin Luther King was virtually the only national figure who supported Ali in his draft resistance. The apostle of nonviolence still admired Ali, the Shakespeare of violence.
4 years later, the Supreme Court ruled that Ali was a legitimate conscientious objector and reversed his conviction. Today, when people tell Ali that he was a draft dodger, he tells them they are wrong.
I didn't dodge them, I just avoided them. Vietnam War turned out wrong. The war was wrong, it was terrible. The war shouldn't have been there. So I made the right decision after all. I'm still the winner.
And still the champion in the eyes of many Americans. He's now embraced as a living touchstone of tumultuous times, a man who stood up and paid a price for his views, right or wrong. Juan Williams, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Tomorrow, Ali's transformation from pariah to patriarch.
This illness of Parkinson's syndrome struck him. It created a lot of sympathy for him. And in that moment when he lights the Olympic torch with his trembling hand in 96, kind of consolidate his iconization.
There's more of the interview with Muhammad Ali on the website, npr.org.